the Lord is risen. Again, get your Bible to your open with me, please. The Gospel of John. If you don't have a Bible, read along, share one with somebody else. So it comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. First thing. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power, become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's turn back on page 3 to Luke chapter 24. Beginning of verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 3-4 furlongs. And as they talked together of all these things which had happened, it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near. He went with them. But their eyes were held, that they could not know Him. He said unto them, what manner of communications are these, that ye have one to another as ye walk in our stead? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which have come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which are they? Prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. Now the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be crucified, to be condemned to death and to have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Let's pray. Father, bless these moments and minutes as we take up and consider thy precious word, hear the Holy Spirit, and minister grace to the hearer. May he apply it to the heart that needs him most. And I pray that the Lord Jesus Christ should be glorified in no man. For we pray in his most wonderful name. Amen. As we've already seen these days, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And the story of the Gospel is a story of what happened when the Word of God came into the world. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And if somebody had come from some alien planet and stood at the foot of the cross and inquired as to what was taking place, it would be hard for those gathered there in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago to explain what they were doing because they didn't know. We come this morning once again and we look at God's Word, and everything is decided and determined by what we do with the Word of God. 2,000 years ago, the Word of God stepped into this world, and the story of the New Testament is the story of what happened to the Word. As He went from place to place and stood in front of men and women, boys and girls, most didn't realize that they were standing face to face with the incarnate Word of God. What they did with the Word of God, how they responded to the Word of God, decided and determined everything. We saw as well last week and the week before that you and I are in the middle of a story. Every single one of us, again, if you turn to John chapter 19, you come to the cross, in verse 19 of chapter 19, and Pilate wrote a title. Every story needs a title. Every story needs a title. And you are writing a story. And what would be the appropriate title for the story of your life? Pilate wrote an inscription, a superscription. Verse 19 says, and Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. He did the best he could with his unsaved, unenlightened mind. He didn't realize who Jesus was. He didn't quite understand that Jesus Christ was the Word of God come into the world and come into his world. And so he did the best he could with what little abilities and capabilities he had, and he wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. First one, he says in this title, when read, many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh the city, was written in Greek, in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. And when the chief priests and the Jews, then said the chief priests and the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. And Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Pilate didn't realize that he was writing a story. He didn't realize that he was in the middle of the most important event in his life. And in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 22, Pontius Pilate asked a question. What shall I do with Jesus? You see, the story is a mystery and the story is a history. The greatest question is, what will I do with Jesus? Pilate didn't know what to do with him. And so he inquired of the crowd, and the crowd said, well, crucify him and give us Barabbas and set Barabbas free, as you saw last week. Well, there's no greater question for your life and my life than what will you do with Jesus? You see, that's the story. That's why we're here. The Bible says in Colossians that all things were made by him and for him. It says in John chapter 1, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. You and I were made for him. And the whole purpose, the whole reason, the whole sense of our life and our existence is what will be our relationship with God. And God desperately wants to have a relationship with us so much that he sent his only begotten Son. And this Jesus that we heard of this morning and sang of, this one is called Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us? Yes. For the story of our life is what we do with God and what God does with us. That's it. Either that, or you might as well have been a potato. Or you might have been born a cucumber. Or a horse, or a camel, or a cow. You were made in the image of God, and you were made for him and for his glory. And the story of your life and the story of my life is, what did you do with God, and what did God do with you? But to bring it into the New Testament vocabulary, what shall I do with Jesus? Emmanuel. God with us. Well, Pilate sent him out to be crucified. Then in verse 22 of chapter 19 of John, there we see it again. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. And there will come a time when you write the last page, the last paragraph, and put the last period on your life. And then, what you have written is what you have written. That'll be a history. And what you do with Jesus, that of course is the mystery. turn back with me to Matthew, to Luke chapter 24. Lord Jesus draws close to these that are walking to the city of Emmaus. And he asks them in verse 17, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and thou hast not known the things which have come to pass these days? They didn't recognize Jesus. They didn't know who was there on the road to Emmaus with them. They didn't realize what had taken place. They were in the middle of a story. They were in the middle of a mystery, and they were in the middle of a history, and the Lord Jesus drew alongside of them, and they didn't know it. Why? Well, go back to John chapter 19. Verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Perhaps these two on the road to Emmaus had witnessed this. Perhaps they had heard this, and I'm pretty sure that they did. But they didn't understand the cross. And there are people everywhere today who still don't understand the cross. They think it is a piece of jewelry that one wears around one's neck. They think it is an ornament. And yet we know that the cross is the central message of the story of life and what we do with Jesus and what happens to him on that cross and understanding what took place. You see, they thought that he meant he was finished. And what he said was, it is finished. How do you know that? Again, Luke chapter 24. And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus. They thought he was finished. They thought he was finished. Many a game has been won at the buzzer. They are sitting in the stadium watching your hometown team being soundly trounced. They're so far behind that you're embarrassed for them. They're not having their best day. And the time is running out, and now there's just a few minutes left, and you realize that if you sit here, suddenly 50,000 people are going to get up and head for the exit, and you're going to be caught in the mob, and you're going to have to make your way down to the parking lot and hunt for your car and get caught in a traffic jam. And not only did your hometown lose, but now you're going to have to spend all this time in rush hour traffic, so to speak. And so you think, well, at least so the whole day won't be lost. So I can somehow salvage something out of this difficult and unfortunate experience. What do you say to slip out and head for the exit now? And you've seen people do that, haven't you? They quietly get up and they make their way down the aisle, and then they climb up the stairs and they disappear into the arena, and they make their way down the parking lot and they drive home. And then they hear it on Monday morning. As they walk in, a conversation is taking place around the water cooler. They hear about the comeback of the century. There was only 2 minutes left, and they were down by 2 touchdowns, and there was no way they could even tie the game, let alone win the game, but in that 2 minutes, something had happened. So there was an onside kick, and the team recovered the ball, and they ran down for a touchdown. And after the touchdown, they ran for 2 extra points. And then they kicked the ball away once again, and they received it again, and up with just seconds left, there was a fumble. And they recovered the ball. And there's one last chance. The quarterback drops back and looks. And if you will excuse the expression for an assembly on Easter morning, they threw a Hail Mary pass. It was caught. It was the comeback of the century. Their team won. You see, they gave up too soon. There, the two on the road to Emmaus had given up. They gave up too soon. They didn't understand the cross. And it's important that we understand the cross. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also has once suffered for sins." That's the history. The just for the unjust, that's the mystery. They might bring us to God, that's the ministry. Being put to death in the flesh, that's the misery. Quickened by the Spirit, that's the majesty. They didn't understand the cross. Somehow, in their mind, they thought that the cross was the end, that Jesus had failed, that Jesus had finished, and they were going home. Nothing sadder than to misplace the faith. Verse 21. But we trusted that it had been seen. We trusted that it had been seen. Why are we sad, you ask? Why are you sad, verse 17? Don't you realize? We trusted that it had been seen. And there's nothing sadder than a misplaced trust. The disciples, one after another, turned their backs on their livelihood and their living. Many left their families to follow Jesus because, as he spoke of the kingdom, their imaginations and their minds were lifted up to something far greater than themselves and far greater than the world. He spoke of goodness and righteousness and justice and equity. And their minds and their imaginations were captivated and captured by this itinerant preacher. And they followed him by the hundreds, and they watched him do the miracles, and they watched him heal the sick, and he watched them feed the hungry, and he even watched them raise the dead. And then he began to talk about the cross. And as we saw last week, when he began to talk about the cross, Peter didn't like it one bit. "He left everything to follow you," he said. And he did. And now you're talking about a cross. See, most people don't understand the cross. They think that the cross is the end. We know that the cross is the beginning. He didn't say, "I am finished." He hadn't even started. The Bible says that on the third day, he rose again as he said he would. These two on the road to Emmaus had no idea what had taken place because they left the stadium too soon. Pilate said, "What I have written, I have written." And he thought that was the end of it and the story was over. He did. He thought he would close the book and go on to the next thing. As a matter of fact, he washed his hands in a basin as to be free of this Jesus of Nazareth. And he thought he was done with it. But he wasn't. Because the cross is not the end, as Pilate thought. The cross is the beginning. You and I are in the middle of a story. And in the middle of every story and every life, there's a cross on a hill outside of Jerusalem. In your story. And the question is, what will you do with Jesus? Will you, like Pilate, turn him over to the mad crowd to be crucified? Will you bow before this demonic democracy? Will you attempt to wash your hands of this Christ with a basin of water? Will you turn your back on him and think it's over? You're leaving the stadium too soon. Or you're heading out for the parking lot too early. Because it's true that Pilate had written what he had written. But there's one thing that Pilate didn't bank on, and that was you cannot kill the Word of God. You can crucify it, you can bury it, you can put it in a sepulcher and roll a big stone in front of it, but you cannot kill the Word of God. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will never pass away. And I'm here to remind you this morning that countless numbers of people have gone back home to Emmaus too early, not realizing that Jesus Christ is not finished yet. What will you do with Jesus? Pilate didn't know what to do with him. What will you do with him? See, two going down the road to Emmaus thought it was all over. They were going home. But love rushed down the road after them. Just like love is rushing down the road after you every time you hear this story. God has not given up on you. The Bible says that they didn't recognize him. They thought he was some kind of a stranger. Verse 21. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Third day. That's resurrection day. They didn't know it. They almost missed it. They almost missed it. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it, even so as the women had said, but they saw him not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things to enter into his glory? And look at verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. I want you to see something here. He could have just immediately opened their eyes and revealed who he was. Now here's somebody who just come back from the dead. Here's somebody that was crucified and buried. Here are two of his followers. He could have stepped in front of them and just said, ta-da! Right? Some of you are old enough to have gone to a few funerals. And when you said goodbye, he said goodbye, and he never saw them again. You see, the Lord Jesus could have stopped on the road of Emmaus right in front of them and said, ta-da! And they would have fallen on their faces. They would have been hilarious with happiness. They would have been filled with joy. We thought you were dead. We thought you were crucified. We saw them take down your lifeless body from the cross. We saw them put you in the tomb. We saw the soldiers roll the stones. He could have done that. He didn't. Why not? Instead of pointing to something physical, which he could have done, like he did with Thomas. Verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He pointed them not to his physical body, he pointed them to the scriptures. He pointed them to the Word of God. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's a question of, am I going to believe God or not? The truth of the matter is, if he had just pointed to himself, they might have gone home and said, maybe I was hallucinating. Maybe we were dreaming. Maybe it just looked like Jesus. Maybe, I don't know. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He didn't point to his physical self, he pointed to the Word of God, and the question is simply this, what are we going to do when we come face to face with the Word of God. That's the story of the gospel. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the story of the gospel is what happens to the Word of God and what happens to us when we come face to face with the Word of God. So here at the very conclusion of the book of Luke, once again we're brought to the very place where we must come to faith or disbelief. We come to see the Word of God. He points to the Scriptures. He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. John chapter 2 and verse 19. He said that. You can believe God's Word is true. And he pointed them to the Scriptures. He points them to the Bible. And the question is, what are they going to do with what they see? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? And they begin to ponder, and they begin to think. Take a look at verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets. I'm not so concerned with what Pilate has written as I am with what God has written. You see, Pilate wrote Jesus of Nazareth, but he didn't even touch the tip of the iceberg. This one that stood before him was far more than Jesus of Nazareth. And Pilate thought that was it. He says, what I have written, I have written. Well, that's true. But I'm more concerned about what God has written. And here, their hearts are filled with warmth. That all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Verse 45. Then open he their understanding that they might understand the Scripture. The Bible is God's Word. And when God comes and reveals himself to us through his Word, it's incumbent upon us to believe it, to obey it, and to follow it. 2,000 years ago, they took the Word, Jesus, and nailed him to a cross, crucified him, thinking foolishly that they could destroy God's Word. And my battle is going to end. You can't kill God's Word. You can't crucify God's Word. You can't destroy God's Word. You can't annihilate God's Word. God's Word is eternal. What will you do with Jesus? It's as simple as that. They were going home, and they thought that was the end. The Bible is a book of comeback. It's a book filled with men and women who realize that faith in God is the purpose of our life. Joseph's brothers were jealous of him, and they sold him as a slave. And the Bible tells us that the last time they saw Joseph, he was being led away by the Ishmaelites in chains of iron. Psalm 105 and verse 18. And they thought they would never see him again. And then one day they stood before this stranger in Egypt. And he looked familiar, but they didn't know who he was. And suddenly he revealed himself by saying, I am Joseph. And their hearts must have stopped within their chest. Because they had betrayed him. They had sold him as a slave. As a matter of fact, they were telling everyone that he was dead. That he was not. When these sons described their family, they said, there are 12 of us. Then they thought, wait a minute, 12 of us? We can only account for 11. What happened to the 12th? And so they said it this way. There are 12 of us. 10 of us are here. One is with our father. And one is not. That's how they describe the one they betrayed. That's the way they describe Joseph. 10 with our father. There are 10 of us here. And then one, well, one is not. Yes, he is. You just don't know he is. And there are people everywhere who look at Jesus and say, he is not.
They say that he's some teacher that lived 2,000 years ago, and he died, and he was buried, and now he is not. And I'm just here to remind every single one of us, yes, he is. Because what Pilate has written is not nearly as important as what God has written. And God said that he would rise again on the third day, and he did exactly as he said he would. What will you do with Jesus? What will Jesus do with me? Pilate didn't understand the cross. He thought it was the ending, and it was really just the beginning. Jesus came into the world to be our sin substitute, our sacrifice. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He died on the cross for me. He died on the cross for you. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, which means Savior, for he shall save his people from their sins. He wants to save you from your sins. Verse 38, chapter 24. And he said unto them, Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see. Me hath. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. First he shows them the word, and then he shows them himself. That's the order. There's another verse. It's in Matthew chapter 28. I'd like you to look at it, please. Verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Look what it says here. At the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn. Salvation for some people comes like a dawn, like a gradual sunrise. Has it dawned on you yet who Jesus is? As it began to dawn. One day it began to dawn on me that Jesus Christ is God incarnate, that he is the only Savior of the world. Has that dawned on you yet? And as it began to dawn, one day it dawned on me that I needed a Savior because I was a sinner. Has it dawned on you yet? Has it dawned on you yet? One day it dawned on me that Jesus Christ was a substitute for my sin, and he died in my place. That's the mystery of the cross. Has it dawned on you yet? I hope so. I hope that you have come to faith because it has dawned on you that Jesus is who he said he was. Salvation for some people comes like a gradual dawn. Verse 2, and behold, there was a great earthquake. Some people wait for an earthquake. Some people need an earthquake before they realize that something fantastic has happened. We go along with our life and we live our life for ourselves, and suddenly God takes it and he shakes it to the very ground. Suddenly the whole world began to shake. God was opening up the tomb to reveal the resurrection. Some people wait for an earthquake. Then the Bible says that an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door. Sometimes somebody has a large stone that needs to be rolled by an angel, so to speak. And God has done that for you. And still somebody has not believed. You had that great problem, and God rolled it out of the way. That should have been enough for you to believe. Some people believe in a gradual dawning of the day. Some people believe in the earth shaken beneath their feet. Some people believe when an objection is rolled out of the way and they come to faith. Verse 5 says, and the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which is crucified. Some people wait to hear a messenger's voice. The word angel means messenger. To hear the voice of an angel, a messenger sent by God, to say, He's not here, He's risen, as He said. You're in the middle of the story. It's a mystery. What will you do with Jesus? Only you can decide how it's going to turn out. How the story's going to end. It's going to have a happy ending or a sad ending. You're in the middle of the story, and it's a mystery. What will you do with Jesus? And there are men and women here this morning who bowed before Jesus Christ and accepted him as their personal Savior, and if you had flipped to the back of the book, you'd say, wow, look what Jesus did with them. What will you do with Jesus? You're in the middle of the story. And it's you're in the middle of the story, and it's a history. Pilate said, what I've written, I have written. One day, he's going to write the last page, and it'll be too late. And so what we do with Jesus has to be done right now. We need to trust him today. I'll close with this. A couple of months ago, we went to New York City. And there we witnessed the ground zero from the airplane. New York City doesn't look like it used to look. There's a large empty space. The two great towers you see. I look at people who have experienced their own December 11th, and there's a big empty space. Marriage didn't go like they thought, and it came crashing down. Their hopes, their dreams, their ambitions didn't turn out like they thought they were. Suddenly, everything was in a pile of rubble and ruin, destruction. There's a ground zero in some people, maybe even here this morning. And Jesus knows about the empty state. The Bible tells us that God wants to fill that empty state. Now, there's a debate going on in New York City right now, and the question is, what are we going to put in the place of this fallen twin tower? What are we going to put there? And some say, let's put this, and some say, let's put that. Some say, let's make it 80 stories. Some say, no, let us make it 110 stories. Some say, no, and they're not sure what to build there. Mount Calvary is ground zero. There, the wrath of God fell on Jesus Christ for me. And when I see that, I crumble. But that's not the end of the cross. For out of the rubble and out of the ruin, God wants us to rise up. And to write another story. Of what Jesus can do with us. What shall I do with Jesus? That brings you to the cross. If you bow before him and put your faith and trust in him as your Savior from sin, accept him as your Lord. Now the story changes, and you discover what Jesus can do with you. Are you here this morning, realizing that you're in the middle of your story? He said, it is finished. The payment is finished. He didn't say, I'm finished. Would you let him just start and see what Jesus can do with you? Would you trust him today? If you want to talk with someone or pray with someone about this very thing, maybe of some ground zero in your life, maybe of some need for forgiveness or need of understanding, maybe there's a stone that needs to be rolled away. We'll do the best we can to show you in Scripture how it can be removed. Maybe you need to hear a voice of an angel, a messenger of God. Maybe you're going through your own earthquake, or maybe you're starting to see the sunrise and it's starting to dawn on you. Stay for a few minutes after and talk to myself or one of the elders. I'll be so glad to show you how you can know this one who makes the story a wonderful story. Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the resurrection. Thank you, as we witness Jesus Christ die on the cross, we realize that that's not the end.